Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your help this morning. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the direction that you have given to us. We thank you for your counsel. We thank you for the worship this morning. We thank you for your people. For unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. Father, as we gather unto you this morning, you will give us seed to sow and bread to eat. Father, we ask that we might decrease so that you can increase. We ask for assistance this morning. We ask that you enable us in a very, very special way. We ask that you give grace to this house. We ask that the Holy Spirit will take complete control of the atmosphere. For now we see in part, but Father, you're going to bring us into that realm when we shall see fully. Lord, we depend totally on you, absolutely on you, that you will chart a course for us, you will speak to us, you will lead us into your counsel. Thank you, precious Heavenly Father. We give you glory, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands to the Lord and worship the Lord. Let's thank him. Say, Lord, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord our God has made. And because the Lord our God has made this day, we will rejoice in it and we shall be exceedingly glad. Father, we worship you. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with his benefits, who forgives our iniquity, who heals all our diseases. Father, we thank you. For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. But they are new every morning. Father, this is another morning. Let your mercies come to us afresh. Let your blessings come to us afresh. We receive the benefits of this day. We appropriate your goodness. We appropriate your faithfulness in our lives this day. We submit to your counsel. We submit to your will. Thank you, precious Heavenly Father. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been having a wonderful time with the Lord, and the Lord has been good to us. He has been reaching out to us in a very powerful way, and we want to just thank him. We're trusting him this morning that he would help us to move forward as I just share a few boardings. What I believe that the Lord is saying to us today, what I believe the Lord wants us to do, and what he wants to do in us. Praise the name of the Lord. We'll be meditating this morning on breaking the seals, breaking the seals. And I'm looking at 1 Chronicles, first of all. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I believe that God is setting the stage for a new day. I believe that God is doing a new thing. He's reaching out to his people like he has never done before. And I believe that this is a very crucial time. And the Lord is raising an altar. God is raising a new platform in the house. And I believe that as we surrender ourselves to the Lord, we are going to be part of that altar that the Lord is raising. In Psalm 110, word says, the Lord said to my Lord, he said, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies to become thy footstool. He said, a rod shall proceed from Zion, and that rod shall rule over the enemies of the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that the Lord is preparing to raise a people who will go forth. He said in that day that I am going to raise a branch, a righteous branch unto David. Jeremiah 23 verse 5. He says, I will raise a branch, a righteous branch unto David, and that branch shall prosper and shall execute judgment upon the earth. I believe we're standing at a very crucial point. And God is gathering a people. He's raising an army. He is sorting his people out. God is about to send forth that rod. Remember the word he says, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And then he says, saviors shall proceed out of Zion. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that this is a critical point. And I know that we are going to release ourselves. We're going to make a covenant with God to be part of that which is coming. I believe that the Lord is breaking the seals. Hallelujah. He says, worthy is the Lamb who is able to open the book and to break the seals. Bible says they sung a new song. That song, they didn't learn it from anywhere, but it was given unto them. That Lamb was able to break the seal. And what happened? He said, he has made unto us, part of the song, kings and priests that will rule in the earth. Hallelujah. I believe that God is raising a people. He's doing a definite work. And by the grace of God, he's going to help us to plug in. God is raising a platform. He is raising an altar. Now, every time God wants to do a new thing, every time he wants to move his people forward, the first thing he does is raise an altar, create a platform, raise a people, and that people will be the instrument in God's hand to execute judgment and to bring the plan and the purpose of God. God is waiting on us. It's not just about another meeting. It's not just about us gathering together and having a good time. But it's serious business. This is the time to get together and really be part of what the Lord is doing. This is a time for us to look inwards, and whatever it will take for us to be part of this people, this altar, this book that will be open. Because of necessity, the seals will be broken, and the book, we will be able to read that book. Hallelujah. That book is the people that God is going to release in these last days. I believe that there is a cult that has been tied down, but when the time came, the master said, release that cult, for the master has need of that cult. I believe that God is going to release us in a very special way. He's going to put a special budding on our lives, and we're going to release ourselves to be part of that which God wants to do. God is looking for men and women who will set themselves aside, who would release themselves, who would become the platform upon which God can stand and do his work in this last days. I believe that this branch that Jeremiah spoke about is the people of God that will come forth in this last days. And they are the ones who will execute this day of vengeance. They are the ones who will bring judgment. He said the kings and the priests shall rule upon the earth. And you know, in the book of Romans, it says those who have received the gift of grace shall reign as kings in this life. I believe that it's time for us to get into the fullness of what God has prepared for us. It's time for us to, as individuals, begin to rule in our situation, to begin to reign in our earth. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that the time is coming when we will take over. We will determine what happens. It's not the politicians who will determine what happens. It's not the people in authority, but the church, the people of God. Bible says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we lose on this earth shall be loosened. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that that time is coming, and God is preparing a people who will be part of this great, great altar that the Lord is raising. God is moving. God is raising a platform. God is breaking the seals. He is releasing his people. Hallelujah. And 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 18. I will just use it as a jump off point, and then read a bit from the book of Revelation and take you, and then we'll come back and dwell right here. But let me read verse 18. It says, then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. I don't know how many of you know the background to this situation. It's actually a crisis situation. It was a very bad situation on hand. It was more like a national crisis. There was a big situation that had been created here, and there was a need for an intervention, a divine intervention. God needed to do something. Praise the name of the Lord to save the situation. And then the angel of the Lord told God, commanded God to tell David. David had created a situation. David had gone ahead to number the armies of the living God. David was a very successful king. God raised him. Lord said to him, he said, I raised you from the sheepcote when you were nothing. That's when I picked you up. Hallelujah. And I made you to become ruler over my people. I made you, your name, a great name. And God was with David. He was a great leader. And God gave him tremendous victory. And you know, towards the end of his ministry, somehow he began to allow, the Bible says, Satan provoked him. He allowed the enemy to provoke him. And you just wonder why a man like that, that God raised and God had been with him, why he would allow the enemy to come in. But you know, Satan provoked him. And suddenly, David began to think of himself instead of thinking about God. He forgot that God raised him up, God picked him up, and God made him great. And I look at that and I see that there are certain situations in our lives that we need to deal with. I think David had that problem all along. He didn't deal with it. He did not sort out that situation. He had an ego problem, which he did not deal with. And all of a sudden, he said, go and number the people so that I may know. Praise the name of the Lord. So that I may know. So it's about me. Hallelujah. And that angered God, that created a situation. I, the Lord that had raised you, that had been with you all this while, it is not by your might, it is not by your strength, but I made you what you are today. But you see, David was provoked by the enemy, and he took a step that was a wrong step. He took a step to number the people of God. And Joab was his number two man, one of his finest generals, tried to prevail on him. And he told him, look, this thing is not right. He spoke to him, but he wouldn't listen. Praise the name of the Lord. He wouldn't listen. And many men have gone astray today because of their successes and because of the things that God had done in their lives. They get to a point where they forget that it is the Almighty God that has raised them. I believe that David did not deal with that situation, and he was at the tail end. God was going to use him to prepare ground for Solomon. There are basically three kings in Israel: Saul, David, and Solomon. And Saul is a type of the outer court, David is a type of the middle court, and Solomon is a type of the Holy of Holies. Praise the name of the Lord. Solomon means peace, it means rest. And at this point, David was preparing ground. He was about winding down and about to prepare the ground for the building of the temple, which he wanted to build, and God said he cannot build it. And that situation, he moved in at that time, at a critical point, when God is moving his people from one level into another, when God is about to move us into the rest and to the place of victory, the enemy came in. That's when flesh came in. That's when David suddenly remembered that he was in charge and he was in control. I believe this is prophetic, because it was a critical point. It was a time when he ought to be setting the stage for Solomon to move the people of God forward. I believe that God is preparing to move us forward. He's preparing to move us beyond Pentecost. He's preparing to move us into a new day. And there's a critical situation on ground, and there's a need for God to raise an altar. Praise the name of the Lord. And you know, David did that. He commanded Joab. Joab did it reluctantly. And you know the story. He brought the numbers to David, and God was angry. That's where the judgment began. God began to move in judgment. And God sent the word to David. He said, now I am going to pour out my anger on you. God gave David three options. He said, it's either I ask. Let's look at verse 9 of Jeremiah, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do today. God was angry because one man decided to do something wrong. He decided that it was about himself. He forgot that God raised him up, God picked him up, that it was all about God and not about ourselves. Why would he need to number the people? God had walked with David and given him victory. It wasn't a matter of numbers, but it was about God. What David was doing was saying, it's not God, it's me. And as long as we begin to take our eyes away from God, then we begin to have problems. Numbering the people, what David was saying is that it's about me. It's me. I want to know it's my skill, it's my strength, it's my ability. And God said he needed to judge David for that situation. Praise the name of the Lord. And God said, I'll give you three options. And I am very serious about this. He said, choose thee one of them. I say unto thee. So God came to David and said unto him, thus says the Lord, choose thee. Either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before your foes, while that the sword of the enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself, what word shall I bring again unto him that sent me? And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now unto the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies. And let me not fall into the hand of man. Praise the Lord. God gave him three options. He said, it's either I'll send your enemies after you, and they would deal with you and destroy you. And the judgment, but David was wise. David said, I would rather fall into the hands of the living God than fall into the hands of man. Because God would remember mercy. And that was the background of this situation. And it was a national crisis. It's probably the worst moment that David ever had in his life. The angel of the Lord moved into the land. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came with a mighty sword, and 70,000 people were destroyed. In one swap, 70,000 people were destroyed. And the whole of the nation was in crisis because of the mistake that David made. And the Bible says that David repented, he cried unto God, and God himself, after the first move and the destruction, God himself restrained himself. And it was then God spoke to God, David's seer, and said, go tell David that he should go to the threshing floor of Onan and set up an altar there. The background was a background of crisis. It was a background of pain. It was a background where the enemy had taken over. It was a background where the entire nation was in crisis. And the Bible says the angel of destruction was standing between the heaven and between the earth with his sword drawn. And there was a little respite. And it was at that point that God spoke to God to go and tell David to go and raise an altar unto God. Something needed to be done to change the situation. God needed to raise an altar in order to change the situation, to lead the people away from that situation of pain and that situation of destruction. And looking against the background of our nation today and against the background of what is happening all around us, I believe that this is a critical time. I believe we're living in a time of pain, and the Lord is seeking to do a new thing. The Lord is seeking to raise an altar in the house through which he is going to bring a change in the place. And it was that background. David wept in sackcloth. He came down in ashes with all the elders and they cried. He said, I have sinned. It is me that have sinned and not the people. And there was great mourning. There was great pain in the land. And I don't think that David ever had it really as rough as this all his life. He knew that he had stepped out of his boundary. He knew that he did not sanctify God before the people. He knew that he was projecting himself. He knew he had touched the place that he shouldn't have touched. God is a jealous God. God is the one that is in charge. God is the one that is doing the work. It's not about us. It's about him. Praise the name of the Lord. And you know, he repented and called on God bitterly, asking God to step in, asking God to change the situation. And God began to move to change that situation. And I want us to look at the things that happened, how God moved, and what God did to change that particular situation. The Bible says that the Lord said to David, go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. That was the instruction. The angel was still there. There was just a little respite. The angel was there, standing between the heaven and the earth, the sword in his hand, ready to continue. So the victory is not yet won. The situation is still a bad situation. It's a crisis situation. But God was going to move in to save that situation. God needed to raise a people. God needed to raise a platform. God needed to raise a branch. God needed to raise a rod that will go forth and execute judgment upon the earth. A people that will stand to bring the purpose of God on the earth. Praise the name of the Lord. And it was in the midst of this crisis that God began to speak to David. And something very beautiful about this is that God, in the middle of this crisis, David probably made the most important progress in his life. God used this crisis situation to open the eye of David to something he never saw before. He's lived in that place. He's been the ruler of the people. But nobody ever thought about Onan, for example. The threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite, was not mentioned anywhere. But that was a situation that was there that God kept. God was doing something in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. And that became the platform that God was going to use. That became the altar that will change things. That would affect the history of the people of God. That will change the destiny of the people of God. And it took a man's mistake. It took a man's error to get to that point. And I begin to wonder why God decided to go that route. Why did God have to allow David to make a deadly mistake, a very costly mistake? And God brought so much pain to him. God brought so much, God, you know, the situation became a very tough and a very bleak and a very dark one. And in the middle of that darkness, God began to show the light. Hallelujah. God began to move by his power. God began to create a situation that will change the destiny of the nation. And I believe that we live in crisis time. And I believe that in our individual lives too, we might be going through situations that are tough and difficult. But you know, scripture says all things work together for good to them that are called according to the purpose of God. Bible says, David said, he said, in my distress, he said, O Lord, thou hast enlarged me. You know, sometimes God moves in this way. Sometimes you really never really get to begin to see properly. You never really begin to appreciate certain things until God has taken you through certain difficult situations, certain difficult circumstances, certain tough situations. And in the middle of that, God begins to bring forth something that is now going to be what would affect your life and affect our generation. I believe in the middle of the pangs that we experience as a people, our country is going down the drain, There's a lot of pressure in the place. There's a lot of darkness in the land. It's as if the angel of destruction is hanging all over the place. Life and security is not safe. There is a lot of disillusionment. There's a lot of confusion. Nobody is exactly sure what is going to happen. Even our leaders, the church itself, is confused. The church is busy numbering its members. The church is concerned about gain. The church is concerned about their own agenda. The leadership in the church has failed. But God is saying, I am going to, in the middle of all of this, I'm going to raise a platform. I'm going to raise a people. I'm going to set a people apart, and I'm going to bring forth a new day and a new move of God. Praise the name of the Lord. So I believe that's where we are right now. And God is beginning to call our attention. God is beginning to say to us that we need to set ourselves and separate ourselves to the Lord so that His plan and His purposes can be established in our lives. In the book of Ezra, when Cyrus gave the proclamation and God began to move the people back to rebuild the temple of God, and the people moved back, those who were willing. Not everybody was willing. There were those who decided to stay back. And when they came into the land, the Bible says they were all dwelling in their different city. But the Bible says in the seventh month, all of them came out of their cities and they came up to Jerusalem as one man. Praise the name of the Lord. God is doing a new thing. He's about completing His work. He's about bringing forth His counsel in this last days. The restoration of the temple, the building of the temple that was broken down. He said, in that day, I, the Lord, I will return. And when I return, I will rebuild the broken tabernacle of David. God is in the process of doing that. And the Bible says they gathered together in Jerusalem as one man. And the first thing that they did was raise an altar to God. They raised an altar. And that was the beginning of the work of God. The direction changed immediately. God began to work and things began to happen in that great work of restoration. But they had to raise an altar unto God. That altar is the platform that God is going to use. God is looking for men and women who will commit themselves to the Lord afresh. It's a little different from just the conventional coming together and consecrating yourself. This is a landmark thing. And I pray that the Lord would help us to see this. God is in the process of setting the people aside who will actually bring deliverance to the rest of the people. The people who will rule as kings, who will reign as priests and as kings in this earth. A people who will execute judgment in the earth. That branch of David, God is in the process of raising that branch. I believe that in the book of Revelation, when he was speaking about the book, let's put your hand in this place. We're coming back to look at it, but let's quickly look at Revelation 5, and then we'll come back to 1 Chronicles. Revelation, it said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Praise the name of the Lord. Remember that Jesus said, he said, lo, I come in the volume of books to do thy will. He said, sacrifices and offerings will I not, but I have come in the volume of books to do thy will, O God. I believe that God is about to break the seal. I believe that God is about to raise the people who will sing a new song unto God. Hallelujah. These are people that God will prepare. He said to David, he said, go up and set up an altar. Hallelujah. I mean, that presupposes that a process is involved. It's not an altar that you just put together like that. You set it up. God is setting up an altar. He is preparing an altar. And you know, God, in verse 9, Bible says when the seal had been broken, and the Bible says that the people sang a new song. Look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having one of every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And look at the result of breaking the seal and opening the book. Praise the name of the Lord. The book was bound with seven seals, so it was a total sealing. Seven means total, means fullness. It was totally sealed. There was no way you can open that book. But thanks be to God that there was one who was able to open that book. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's the Lamb. Verse 5 says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to do what? To open the book and to loose the seventh seal." That book has got to be opened. There was crisis in heaven. There was nobody who could open that book. And the whole of the place was silent. But then came this Lamb of God that was able to break the seal and to open the book. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that the Lord is raising a people, a special people. He's raising a nation out of a nation. He's raising a people who will be consecrated to God. He is raising a tool. He is raising a platform. He is raising an altar. A people that will go forth in His name to execute judgment. They will be different. They will be anointed by God. They will make all the difference. And it's very important that these people be released. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, it's important that this seal be broken so that the release can come. The Bible says the creations are groaning. The creations are on tiptoe, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I believe that God has brought us here for a purpose. I believe that there's a great need out there. There is a need to change the situation. There is a need to step out with the counsel of God. There is a need to step out with the anointing of God. There is a need to step out with God's counsel in a way we have not done before. This is different from church. This is different from denomination. This is different from all that we see around us. God is raising a people. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that He broke the seal. He broke the seal. And I behold in the midst of the throne, I'm reading verse 6 now. In the midst of the throne and on the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God that were sent forth into all the earth. The lamb looked weak, it looked frail. But it's far from it. Hallelujah. That which God is doing may not be obvious to the outside world. It may look weak, unstructured. But that's where the deliverance of the nations lie. Bible says, I saw the lamb look like it had been slain. But this is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the one that was able to break the seal. I imagine the seriousness and the importance that heaven attached to this. The Bible says, it says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, hallelujah, the Almighty himself, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. There was a need, there was an urgency. That seal had to be taken away. Hallelujah. The importance of the breaking of the seal is so much that without it, we're not moving forward. Nothing is going to happen. And I believe that God is going to throw up some people. He's going to throw up a people among us. He's going to do a work, a deep work, a work that man cannot do, only God himself. God is going to separate a people, take them through experiences, purify them. And by the time they come out and they begin to speak, you will know that this is God. It's not something that will be superintended by man, managed by man. It's not something that is going to be controlled by any person. But God himself is doing this work. It was the Lamb himself that was worthy to break the seal. Hallelujah. For a long time, there was silence. It was like, who is going to do this job? And that underscores the importance of the breaking of the seal. So that this book can be read. So that this book can go forth. So that this branch of David can go forth into the earth and execute judgment. It is very, even heaven waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I believe that's why we are, and we have to pray. We have to do everything it takes for the releasing and the manifestation of these sons of God. We're at such a point that we cannot go forth anymore unless these sons manifest, unless this seal is broken, so that the glory of God and the power of God can be manifested upon the earth. And I believe that's what happened in the day of David, when God brought him to that situation, and God brought forth an altar that changed that situation. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 7. And he came. And what did he do? He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Hallelujah. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. There's going to be a lot of worship and praying to birth this altar, this platform. In Ezra chapter 3, the Bible says they ministered to the Lord. There was a lot of worship and prayers. The Bible says there was this vial and this odor, this incense that proceeded to God. And that is the prayer of the saints. It is in the midst of all of that that the seals were broken. What that means is that God is going to raise men and women who will get back into the place of prayer. It is prayer that is going to birth the release of these men and women who will make a change, who will change the destiny and bring forth the counsel and the purpose of God. And this is going to be different. It's not going to be just an ordinary thing. This is the thing that God is doing. And I believe that there are people here who are going to be part of that great army that will come forth. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, the Bible says the 24 elders, all of them bowed down. They were worshiping the Lord. Every one of them with harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. It's in that kind of atmosphere that these saints were birthed. And they began to sing a new song. They were just different. They just came out. God released them. Hallelujah. These are men who have been cooked and prepared by God. And the hand of God is upon their life. Bible says this book is written within and without. They are transparent men. Men of integrity. Men raised by God. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe as we band ourselves together in the place of prayer and intercession, I believe there is going to be a great spirit of intercession that is going to come upon us in the next couple of months and years. We're going to have to get back into it, because it's in the midst of prayer. That old time prayer, that getting together in fasting and in prayer to seek the face of the Lord for the manifestation of the glory of God. The Bible says it is as soon as Zion travailed that she did what? She brought forth. There's going to be a travailing. Hallelujah. And the sun-clothed woman is going to bring forth the man-child. And that man-child is going to rule and reign with the authority of the Almighty God. In the midst of the vials, the prayers. The prayer is the incense that comes before God. Hallelujah. And God feeds on our prayer. When we gather together, and things begin to happen when we band together and we spend time into the place of prayer, then we're going to birth the altar. We're going to give birth to that platform. We're going to give birth to that nation that will rise, and they will execute the judgment of the Almighty God in these last days. Verse 9. And as soon as the seals were broken, see what came out of the seal and the book that was broken. The Bible says, and they sung a new song, hallelujah, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Hallelujah. No wonder Jesus says, behold, I come in the volume of books. To do what? To do thy will. I'm talking about books now. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, as long as you are declared manifestly as the hand of God, the ministry, that the things that we did among you, he said, you are the epistle, you are the book that we have written. Hallelujah. We've not written it with ink and with pen, but we're written this with the Spirit, hallelujah. Not on tablets of stone, but on the flesh of human heart. So you are the books, hallelujah, that must be opened. The seals in your life must be broken, hallelujah. Because men, Paul said, this book is known and read of all men. The world is waiting for the books to be opened so that they can read and see the glory of God in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. So God is going to break the seals. Hallelujah. Everything that is holding us back, everything that is keeping us to the earth. The Bible says that that which is of the earth is earthy. God will deliver us from the earth. And he's going to set us free, and we're going to partake of the heavenly. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. God is breaking the seal. Hallelujah. And whatever it is that is holding us down, God will break that seal. The seal must be broken. A people must go forth. Even heaven, the Father is sitting. He said, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah, said to my Lord Adonai, sit down at my right hand until thy enemies are made thy footstool. He sat on the throne, and on his right hand was this book. And there's a need, the book was sealed. This book must be broken. Hallelujah. The seal must be taken off. And thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ is our leader. He's our captain. He is the one that has broken these seals. Hallelujah. And he's here today to touch our lives and to break the seal in our life and to cause us to come into our own so that we can manifest his glory and do that which he has raised us for. God has raised you for a purpose, and the enemy is trying to keep you from entering into God's purpose. The mission of the devil is to prevent you from entering into your fullness. But God is going to do a work in our lives. He's going to set us free. Hallelujah. And we're going to step into God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. We're going to enter into his plan. We're going to reign and rule as kings in this earth. Hallelujah. Verse 9. And they sang a new song. Notice it was a new song. They didn't learn this song from anywhere. But the picture I get here is a people in preparation. He said, go up and set up the altar. And you see, if you read the second verse, verse 10, it says, and thou hast made us. So there's a making here. There's a process here. See, the people began to sing. They began to sing a new song. It wasn't a song that they learned. It was a song that was birthed within them. They were a people that were set aside. And God broke the seal on their life. And as soon as the seal was broken, They were able to rise out of the earth realm. They were able to break forth. They were able to cross the veil of the flesh. They were able to enter into God's plan and God's purpose. And then, spontaneously, they began to sing this new song. Hallelujah. I believe that God is going to put a new song in our mouth. Amen. We're going to sing a new song. David said, in waiting I waited. He said, he heard my cry, and he brought me out of the miry clay. And he set my foot on a rock to stay. He put a new song in my heart. I believe that God is raising men and women in these last days who will go forth and sing a new song. It's Jehovah's song. It's not a song of man. It's a song that we have learned as God takes us through the place of preparation. God has made us. God has prepared us. He is preparing a people. He is setting a people aside in these last days. And I believe that God is doing a work. Some of the things that is going on in our life is the finger of God. God is setting people aside. He is knocking a few things, taking us to the quarry site, knocking off all those rough edges, preparing us to come to the building site where he will set up the altar. Praise the name of the Lord. And I believe that we are going to come through it by the grace of God, and we are going to manifest his purpose and his plan. I believe that by the time we're done, we will know that God is at work in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Hallelujah. For thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God. This is the book. This is the content of the book that is speaking now. after the seal was broken, seven seal taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ, see, they began to sing a new song. And what were they singing? They said, "Thou was slain and has redeemed us." See what the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ is? "Thou has redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Praise the name of the Lord. God is raising a people. This platform that God is raising is not restricted to one particular church or one particular people. What God is doing in these last days is beyond even this convention. It's beyond this gathering. God is raising a people unto himself. Hallelujah. He says, "You have redeemed us from all tongue, from all people, and from all nation." God is gathering a people together who will go forth in his name. By thy blood. That's the instrument of redemption. Through the shed blood of Christ. He is the first begotten. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the one that is coming. He is coming in a volume of books. That volume of books is you. He is coming to manifest. You see, he's already broken the seal. He said, "Sacrifices and offerings I would not, but lo, I come in the volume of books." The seals must be broken. And this book will be open. And men shall read this book. Men shall see it. It will be known and read by all men. Praise the name of the Lord. Bible says, through his blood, through his shed blood. And that's the tool, man. As we move on and God does this work, the principal instrument is going to be by his blood. The Bible says we overcame the enemy by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. He has redeemed us, not through our own strength, not through our own ability, but through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And has raised us unto our God and has made us. Look at verse 9. He made us through the sacrifice, through the shed blood, the redemption. And this whole thing is through the blood of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is going to help us to begin to appreciate the power in the blood more and more. It's our instrument as we overcome and push forward. As God shows us the victory in the blood. Hallelujah. Because we have been redeemed. These people came out. As the seals were broken, they began to sing a new song. Hallelujah. And they said, "What is that lamb that was able to break that seal? That has redeemed us through his blood from all the nations of the earth and has made us." Hallelujah. And that's the thing. There is a making here. There is a preparation. God is making a people right now. He is sorting the people out. God is doing a very deep work in our midst. It goes beyond just singing and clapping and identifying and carrying a label or just wanting to be a part of this thing. God is making a people. He has made us. I don't know how long it took him to make them. But there's some process involved here. There is a making, a passing through of some things, a going through of some things, a sorting out. God harnesses his people, separates the people, and puts them in isolation, and then begins to deal with them, begins to sort them out, that they might be ready to be a part of what God is doing. I don't know what the Lord is doing in your life, but I perceive in my heart that there are some people here that God has been doing a deep work in their life. You may not fully understand what it is, but God has been taking you through some strange paths. God has been dealing with you in ways that are strange, and you just know that the hand of God is on you. And sometimes you may look really heavy, you may look isolated, and God is separating you, God is putting you aside. It is for a time, it's for a purpose. And I believe that God is going to cause this men and women to receive grace and to receive strength. The altar is going to be set up. God is setting the altar right now because we are about to move into another level. And it is God that will move us into that level. It is God that will give us the grace. He is the one that will do this work. We have been redeemed by his blood. He chose us. We didn't choose ourselves. He brought us into this thing. But he is making us and has made us, hallelujah, unto our God as what? As kings and as priests. And we shall reign where?
on earth. This is not, it's not in the sweet by and by. I'm not talking about something that is going to happen when we get to heaven. These are kings and priests that will reign where? On the earth. I'm talking about what's going to happen in the next couple of months, next couple of years. God is making a people. God is, he has made us unto our God. Not unto any system. Not unto, it's not, this is not about a group or about a system. He has made us unto our God. This is unto God. God is the one who is in charge. He is the one, the idea is his. He is the one supervising this work. He is the one selecting the people. He is the one sustaining. He's the one training the people. He's the one sorting the people out. It's all about Jesus from A to Z. There is no man involved. Hallelujah. It's God that is doing this work. Hallelujah. He is raising the people and he's making the people. And it is this process of making that I just want us to dwell in this morning. It's a tough one. God is making the people. He's preparing them. He's setting them aside. But at the end of the day, they're going to come out as kings and as priests. Praise the name of the Lord. Kings exercise authority. Where the word of the king is, there's power. Hallelujah. And we haven't seen anything yet about spiritual authority and power. I believe when God breaks the seals in our life, when God releases this man, we're going to see spiritual authority and power. Men will go forth in the name of the Lord and exercise power. And we are going to keep in check the enemy. Hallelujah. We're going to rule and reign as kings in the earth. We're going to execute judgment on earth. Hallelujah. He said he would raise unto David a righteous branch. And that branch will execute judgment. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that God is setting the stage for that. And there are men and women here. This is not a fairy tale. It's not some things that we're saying. God means business about this. And God is setting the people. He is the one doing this. He's breaking the seal. He is preparing the people. He is making the people. And the people will step out. They will manifest his glory. The Bible says the creations are on tiptoe. The creations are groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And in my spirit, I believe that the time has come for that altar to come forth. And it's possible that you are part of that altar. You may be experiencing some things, and God is doing some work. You may not be able to place it, but you need to begin to get a bigger picture of what God is doing so that you can surrender yourself and yield yourself and be a part of this great thing that God is doing. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe they are going to have character, priests, ministers to the people, and the kings exercise authority, isn't it? God is going to raise men and women who are going to be perfect. They're going to work in integrity. They're going, not only will they exercise authority, the kingly authority, but they will also exercise the priestly authority. Praise the name of the Lord. They will be mighty and big on power. They will be big on miracles, big on authority, but they will also be big on character. Hallelujah. They're going to be men and women who have been tested. Men and women who will make a difference in our time. And I believe that the Lord is doing that work. He is sitting on top of his own people. He said, the Lord whom we wait for will come suddenly into his temple. And he will sit like a refiner's fire. And he will purify his house. Hallelujah. And then we shall come forth to bring forth his praise. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord is sitting in the house. He's breaking the seal. The hand of the Lord is going forth to and fro. God is doing a work in our lives. And he's breaking the hold of the enemy. He's setting us free so that we can manifest his glory in these last days. And I believe that we're going to receive strength as we go forth and release this. Now, let's go back to 1 Chronicles. Let me try and tie this to the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. And let me bring out one or two quick lessons that I believe will help us as we stay in this place of preparation. Praise the name of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 18, that's where we started with. We were on verse 18. There was crisis. David was in bad shape. There was a national crisis. There was a great need to move forward. And in the midst of that, God spoke to David. And we can liken that to the pressure that is on us today. There's crisis all around us. There's great need. There's great pressure in the land. And God wants to move his people forward. Hallelujah. It was a national emergency. And the Lord spoke to David. He said, go to the threshing. Go up to the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite, and set up an altar. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's the beginning of the change. That's the beginning of the new move of God. That's the beginning of the work of God in the land at that time. God changed the situation. Out of that darkness, God brought out something. It will interest you that it was at this point that David located the site for the Temple of Solomon. Eventually, the Temple of Solomon was built on this same threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. And that came in the middle of this crisis that David was going through. But the first point I want to make was that Onan was not known. Before now, nobody knew him. He was separated. God had like put a harness around him. God had separated him. And God was setting up an altar. The altar was somewhere before now. But there was a need to change the location of the altar at this time. Hallelujah. The altar was at the high place of Gibeon. There was an altar. There was no need for David to set up another altar because there was one in the high place of Gibeon. But somehow, David couldn't go up to the high place of Gibeon. It was crisis. There was a great need. And God changed the direction. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that God is taking away the first that he might establish the second. I believe that God is moving his people forward. He's changing the direction. We must move on with him. There is an altar that God is laying aside. And he's raising a new one. Praise the name of the Lord. And God instructed him. He said, go to the threshing floor of Onan. Onan had been there all the time. He's been there. And nobody took attention of him. Nobody knew. But he was a faithful man. He was living and was obeying the principles of God and was going through the dealings of God. He was a hard-working man. He was a faithful man in that place. And God recognized that he was there. David was the king. David never took notice of Onan until this time. He never recognized that there was anybody or any threshing floor called the threshing floor of Onan until this day when the word of the Lord came to him. And it's possible that there are some of us who've been working in our little corners there. And it looks like nobody has remembered you. Looks like nothing is happening. And you're laboring. It's like God has isolated you, put you in a corner. And God is dealing with you, sorting you out. And you're going through some very tough experiences. By the way, the name Onan means pain. I checked it up. It means iniquity. It means force. That's what Onan means. So you can imagine that represents the man was going through some dealings of God. God was sorting him out because he was going to play a crucial role. He was going to be the platform. God was going to use him as the platform, the launch pad that will change the situation in Israel, that will bring a new day upon that which is happening. Hallelujah. And you know God is looking for men and women. I know God is setting in place men and women who are here today, who are actually going to be God's launch pad in these last days. God is actually going to use them as the basis for his work in these last days. And that's what I saw in Onan. God separated him. And God was dealing with him, sorting him out, taking him through, he learning how to be obedient, learning how to labor, learning what sacrifice meant. And yet nobody took notice of him. Nobody recognized him. But the God of heaven took notice of him. Hallelujah. You may think that you have been forgotten. You may think that nobody is recognizing you. You may never have the opportunity to come up here to minister or to say anything. But God is doing a tremendous work. You don't have to come up here before you're part of what God is doing. God is doing it. God is sorting you out, my friends. God is doing a deep work. You know it. And somehow it's tough. And we all want to be recognized. We want to be called up. But we don't have to be called up. Onan was not bothered, but he was faithful in the little that God gave to him. He was in the place of preparation. God was making him. It wasn't just any threshing floor that can be used to do this kind of job. The angel of destruction was standing between the heaven and the earth with a sword in his hand. There is a plague of destruction. We've got to stop that plague. Something has got to be done. It's a desperate situation. Now, you have to have the right platform to do that kind of thing. It's not child's play. It's not snakes and ladders. It's not playing church this time. This is serious business. We're talking about 70,000 people already dead. And we're talking about the angel standing between heaven and earth, the sword done in his hand. And we're talking about God stopping that situation. We're talking about changing the destiny of the people. And God needed a platform to work with. God needed a people to work with. God needed a basis. God always would need an altar. God doesn't just walk like that. He would always need a vessel. He would always need a platform that he can walk with. Bible says the eye of the Lord is going to and fro all the earth, and is seeking for men whose heart are perfect towards him, that he might demonstrate his power on their behalf. And I looked at Onan, and I was deeply touched by this man. I mean, he was there in the place working. Faithfully working. He was learning the kinds of things that he said, the kinds of things that he did. You knew he was a man under the dealings of God. You knew he was not a man that was made overnight. You know, there's some quick fixes. There's certain things that, you know, we live in a jet age, quick, fast food, everything is fast. You know, everybody's looking for shortcuts. Nobody really wants to go through the whole thing and go through the whole hog. Everybody wants to quick fix, get the anointing quick, get in. And just become a minister overnight. Get everything quick, 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 quick. And that's what's killing the church. Hallelujah. But you see, God is the one doing this thing. He selects. And he's inspecting. Hallelujah. The word inspecting has been coming up. And he's taking his time. God is not going to go for some half-baked, quick fix, sudden overnight kind of stuff. God is going to go for thoroughbreds. People who have been made. He said, and he has made us unto our God. Took him time. There's a making there. There's a process there. And it wasn't an easy one. Hallelujah. But God made us unto our God. And we became kings and priests to rule in the earth. Hallelujah. God will bring forth men and women under the sound of my voice this morning who will rule as kings and priests on this earth. It has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with your height. It has nothing to do with where you come from or the color of your skin. Hallelujah. This one has everything to do with Jesus walking in your life. It has everything to do with you submitting to God and letting God walk in you. Praise the name of the Lord. There were many threshing floors in Israel at that time. Why was it the threshing floor of Onan? What made Onan different? Why didn't God, the Lord, speak about going to the threshing floor of Jacob or Shealtiel or some other person? Why the threshing floor of Onan? There's something about Onan. The place was prepared. God needed a platform. God needed an altar. He needed a people, a right people. And not everybody in the house is right for this thing. Not everybody in the house is going to be part of this, but there is an Onan in the land. And those Onans are here today. God is setting an Onan. God is setting a platform in the house. And God will use that platform to bring victory to the rest of the nation. Hallelujah. The Levites carried the ark on their shoulder. They stepped into Jordan first. And when they stepped into Jordan, Jordan parted. Jordan means death. And they stayed in the middle of Jordan for the rest of the nation to pass through. God is raising a Levites company in this last days. Men and women who will carry the ark on their shoulders. men and women who will come to Jordan, the place of death, who will die to self. It's not going to be about us anymore. It's not going to be about me, my energy, my strength, or what I can do. It's going to be about Jesus. Men who will decrease so that Jesus can increase. Men who will disappear from the scene. Men who will hide. Incidentally, look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. And David went up at the saying of God, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Onan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him. And what did Onan do? He hid himself. And now that was something else. The first thing that came to this man was to hide himself. And the Spirit of God is saying to me, many of us like to present ourselves. We like to push ourselves. We have our own personal agenda. You know, we have this thing about the way God has helped us, and we like to project ourselves. It's natural and normal, this drum major instinct, this ego that we have. We all want to be recognized. We want to be seen. Nobody wants to be relegated to the background. Hallelujah. But in this thing, you have to be relegated to the background. And don't feel bad, brethren, when it looks like you are being relegated to the background. You might just be an honor in the place. God might just be dealing with you. You're not seeking for your right. You're not pushing yourself. But God is doing a deep work. We're not looking for men who are just in a hurry to talk. We've had a lot of talking, friends. If talking will do this job, it would have been done long ago. It's not about talking. It's not even about preaching now, friends. We've had good preaching. And I'm not a good preacher, but we've had great and good men preach. But it's not about preaching, friends. If preaching and talking will do this job, we've been in this thing for quite some time. I'm talking about 30 years now. I'm talking about several years. If it's about preaching and talking, we would have been there. But we're not there yet. There's still a quantum leap, quantum gap between what we ought to be and what we are now. Hallelujah. It's about recognizing the dealing of God in your life. It's about staying in the place where God wants you to stay. In God's own time, He will reveal you. In God's own time, He will show you. And when God reveals a man, then you know the man is done. When God brings a man to a place, and God says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Praise the name of the Lord. Nobody knew about honor. Nobody ever spoke about him. David was the king. David got up and walked to honor's house. That's a great thing. The king doesn't visit small human beings. You don't find the king. The king. What happened to the king? There was crisis. Hallelujah. In the middle of crisis, God will throw up the honors, friends. In the middle of pain, in the middle of crisis, you see these men, they're standing. They're not moving. They're faithful. And you begin to wonder, what is it that is making them to tick? It is the calling and the mighty hand of God. How are the mighty fall? You see the strong men are not able to stand, but you see the honors coming out and standing. Praise the name of the Lord. And David came trembling. David was the big man. He was the king. God says, "I raised you from the sheep coats. I made you the ruler of my people. When you were nothing, I gave you a name." And David thought he had arrived. And he began to number the people. He had an ego problem. And that rattled him. He became like a piece of bread because of that crisis. And that's what happens when a man, let him who thinks he's strong, friends, let him take heed lest he falls. Praise the name of the Lord. You never get to a point where you think you have arrived. David thought he had arrived. He's the king. His word was the last. Joab, his second in command man, tried to stop him, but he prevailed on Joab. What he wanted was, he was a soldier, and he gave his last command. And Joab knew he had to obey the command of David as a soldier. He obeyed his command. He left out Judah, Benjamin, and he didn't count all the tribe because he was reluctant to do that, because he knew it wasn't the will of God. But God began to judge David because of that. And David took and walked. I don't know how he got to Onan, how they located Onan. But the word of the Lord says, go to Onan. It was clear. Again, God is going to speak specifically. It's not going to be, We're not going to be confused about what God is saying. He's not going to be hazy. You know, it may have been a little here, a little there. It may have been hazy in the past, but now it's going to get clearer. We will see him as he is. It's going to be an open-faced thing now. This ministry is an open-faced ministry because we're going to read the book inside and read it outside too. It's going to be transparent. It's going to be good. It's going to be straightforward. You're not going to be speaking one way and doing another thing. You're going to be speaking and walking your talk. Hallelujah. Some people do the talking, but they don't walk their talk, like the Americans will say. But we want men and women who will talk and walk their talk. Praise the Lord. That's the way it's going to be. Onan was that man. He was there. David came there. And you know what the man did? When he never seen a thing like that. Never saw the king before, probably. And now the king was knocking on your door. He was so overwhelmed by that. You know what he did? He grabbed his four sons and went to hide. Praise the Lord. And those four sons were faithful. Something else, the man learned to take care of his house. Those boys walked with him. They were faithful boys. And that told me something about Onan. He knew how to keep his house. He was a family man. He was a man who was faithful. He didn't treat his home and his family with levity. He had integrity at home too. Not just integrity outside, but he had integrity at home. Friends, the people that God will use in these last days will be thorough. They would not only have integrity outside, they will have it at home too. Their lives will be total. It's going to be, God will touch every area of their lives. Hallelujah. And that's what I saw with Onan. He took his four boys and went to hide. Hallelujah. If it was some of us, you see, my time has come now. This is my day. I have been working and nobody has recognized me. This is my time. You come out of the door beating your chest and pushing yourself. Yes, the king has come to visit me. Hallelujah. You get a little anointing on your head. A little revelation comes in. And then you jump out of the place and you are the minister of the day. You want to take over the thing. Just because a little anointing is coming and a little revelation. It takes more than just flashes of revelation to do this thing, friends. You know, we've had flashes, we've had good times, good anointings, good meetings, where the Spirit of God came down and men couldn't preach anymore. People fell on their faces. We've had good meetings. And God has moved. God has given us flashes of revelation. But it's more than that. It's about continuity. It's about living the life. It's about discipline. It's about the harness of God. It's about staying in the place when it's not convenient. It's about the hand of God on your life. It's about pain sometimes. It's about God dealing with us and sorting us out. Praise the name of the Lord. And Onan knew that. He wasn't about to present himself first thing. He hid himself. And that's a beautiful message for me. It's not about me, friends. I really doesn't care what happens anymore. It's about Jesus. Because it's I'm not about to impress anyone anymore. It's too late in the day to do that, friends. I mean, if you can, Paul said, we don't need commendation from you or commendation to you. I need God's commendation now. That's what I need most, friends. I mean, if God will approve me, if I can get God's approval, that's all I need, that God will have mercy on me and approve me. I don't need your approval. I don't need, it's not about show this time. It's not about me pushing myself or my agenda anymore. I need God to help me. I need God to approve me. I need God to present me. Because unless God presents a man, that man is wasting his time. You can have the language, you can have the eloquence, you can have the word, you can even have your doctrines right. And it's not about that. It's about God putting his hand on a man and approving a man. Praise the name of the Lord. Bible says that which is highly exalted in the sight of men is abomination in the sight of God. God's definition of success is not man's definition of success. What in the church world we call success today, you have branches, you have a large group, you have so many branches. We have some of our churches in this country that have hundreds and thousands of membership, and they gather millions together. They have branches all over. They are very wealthy, and they're looked at as successful ministries. There's been an account that the church, Nigeria is one of the fastest growing churches. The way Christian work is going on in Nigeria is described as the fastest in the world. We have churches everywhere. We have buildings that have different churches on different levels. We have streets, one street with so many churches. And they're opening the churches by the day. And do you know that this country is one of the most corrupt countries in the world? Now tell me, that doesn't sound, it's not right. If we have the largest number of churches, we have the largest number of Christians, then I thought the Christians should have impact on the nation. We are supposed to be the light of the world. Yes. We're supposed to make a difference. But crime rate is high. Things are going out of hand. What impact is the church making? It means that what you call the church is not the church. The cutting edge has been lost. The church, the biting edge is no longer there. Charles Spurgeon, it was that said. He said, break the church, bend the church, and you bend the nation. When a nation is in darkness, it's because the church in that nation is in darkness. And our nation is in darkness. It's because the church has lost. We have abandoned the fountain of life, and we have gone ahead to hew for ourselves systems that cannot hold life. We have gone ahead to commit the sin of numbering. It's about numbers now. It's about ourselves. It's about our plan. And darkness is upon the land. But that is about to change. God is raising an honor in the land. He is raising a platform. He is preparing a people. He is raising an altar. And this is not a joke. This is not church. This is not just talking. This is God. He is moving. He is doing a work. He is raising a people. That will be his launch pad. Things have got to change. We can't go down the drain like this. That's not God's plan. He says, I'm coming for a triumphant church. We're not going to be down and beaten and weather beaten by the devil. Jesus says, I'm coming for a church that is without wrinkle. A church that is triumphant. A church that is ruling. A church that has power. Look how much power we have lost. Look, the edge, the cutting edge is not there. We do a lot of talking, we do a lot of, but we're not making the impact. God wants to change that. Amen. Hallelujah. And he is raising a platform. He is raising a people. Be patient with God, my friends, and let God do the work in you. First thing that Onan did was heed himself. I thought that was some shamefacedness. That's some respect. It's not about me, even though he had everything that David needed. He didn't go flaunting himself. He had the gifts. He had the anointing. But he didn't present himself. First instinct was hide. How many of us will do that? You get into a place, you want to take over the thing. You see, a man's gift will make a way for him. If you are a leader, if you're raised and taught, don't worry, friends. Don't worry whether they call you up or not. Don't bother. God has called you up. If they don't call you up now, they'll call you up later. Because a man's gifts will make a way for him. The Bible says, is it not good that when you go for a social gathering, that you don't go and take the high seat, and then they come and excuse you later on and take you to the lower seat? Isn't that some disgrace? He said, take the lower seat first. Go and sit at the back. And then let them call you from the back and put you. Isn't that better? Isn't that good? I like to be in that level. I like to take the back seat and let them come and call me up. Praise the name of the Lord. But that's one of the signs of the people who will make it in this last day. My friends, God will fight for you. It's about him, friends. He brought us here. We didn't bring ourselves here. He called me. I didn't call myself. God brought me this far. I couldn't have made it. When I look at how it is and how God has helped me over the years, I know it's just God. If you minus God, this man crumbles. I can't stand. I can't do it. There's nothing that I can do without him. He is the vine and we are the branches. And he will make sure that he takes you into that place. He's taking you out that he might take you in. Praise the name of the Lord. Honor and heed his sons, and his sons were obedient to him. That tells me he took care of his home well. Praise the Lord. The boys did not rebel. The boys did not go contrary to their father. They did everything their father told them to do. So he was good on that one too. Praise the Lord. He was separated. His name means pain. I don't know how much pain Onan went through. But God took him through pain. God isolated him. And God was preparing him. You're going to play a significant role. The temple of Solomon is going to be built here. God knew that before the foundation of the world. David didn't know that. Onan himself didn't know that. But God was training him. God was knocking off the edges. Those cantankerous aspects of him. Those rough edges. God was cutting it off. And it was painful. But the man stayed there. He didn't know where God was leading him to. He didn't know that this threshing floor was going to make a difference in Israel. He didn't know that this is going to be the place where the altar is going to be raised. He didn't know that he was going to make such a tremendous impact. But he was just faithful. My friends, you never know what God will do with you, friends. You never just know where he is taking you. Be faithful, my friends. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Where there is strife, the Bible says, there is contention and there is every evil work. God has not called us to strive. Let's stay in that. When God says stay there, they may not acknowledge you, they may not know you, but stay where God wants you to stay. You know, sometimes we want to jump out of God's training, out of the harness of God, and God puts you there and it's difficult. And he takes you through some excruciating experiences. He things happen to you, you wonder why they happen. And God is teaching you humility. He's teaching you prayer. He's teaching you patience. And you're there. And the trial of our faith, the Bible says, is count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and diverse temptations. For out of it will come something good. Out of the eater will come something to eat. Praise the name of the Lord. And God is doing that. And I believe that there are men and women here that God has been... This harness of God is on your life. God's put a harness. God has turned you, tied you down, as it were. And God is knocking you out, taking you through experiences. He has a purpose for you. Praise the Lord. Now let me quickly look at one or two things about this honor and then I will close. Verse 20. And Onan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him. And he hid himself. And verse 21. And David came to Onan. And Onan looked and saw David. And went out of the threshing floor. And bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Man, this is good. He bowed himself. Some of us, our spine is too strong. You know, we're too stiff. Difficult to bend. Hallelujah. God will break our spine a little bit so that we can bend. Some of us have our tradition. We're so stiff about our tradition. We have our doctrine, neat, cut, and dry. We have our ways of doing things. We see things this way, and that's it. Hallelujah. We're not even prepared to allow the Holy Ghost to do a bit of changing. We must be willing to bow. And that's worship, isn't it? That's submission. The first thing, Onan has everything that David needed. He could bluff David. This is a time for him to call the bluff. You are there, you are the king. You think, now you need me, that's when you're coming. Now stay outside until I ask you to come in. David would do that because David was in bad shape here now. If God told him to lie on the ground for Onan, he would do it. Because 70,000 of his people are already laying dead, and the angel is standing there between the heaven and the earth. Everybody can see with a sword drawn. And David know that we have to stop this thing. If Onan told him, look, stand outside there, David. When I call you, then you come in. It's my time to bluff you now. You've messed me around. You didn't recognize me. Now you're coming because you need me. You know some of us how we do that kind of stuff? When our brother, when people do things to us, we want to pay back. It's not Christian to pay back.
No.
It's not Christian to pay back. God didn't call us to pay back. Jesus said, when they spank you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. It's not a tooth for a tooth like our friends would do. It's not a tooth for a tooth. Hallelujah. That's what God is saying to us. Onan stood there. And you know, he's never had a great visitor. Imagine having the president, Olusegun Obasanjo, come into your house. Man, that is great. If the president chooses to come to my house, I'm not sure we'll be able to sleep that night. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here was David coming to his house. And the man bowed himself down. Everything that could make him stand straight was taken away. Friends, God will knock those studs up. So, you know, some of us have these things that is keeping our support system. Sometimes God will pull the carpet under your feet so that he can bring you up. He said, if you must go up, in God's own agenda, God's calendar, the world says if you want to go up, you climb up. That's what the world says. Go for it. That's the message. Get it at all costs. We have all the motivational talks going on, all the great speakers, business, make the money. Hallelujah. Go for it. Just go for it and get it. It's by hook or by crook. That's not God's way. God says if you want to go up, you go down first. That doesn't make sense. If you want to go up, I thought you should try and go up. If your mission is to go up, then try and... But God says if you want to go up, then go down first. Except a grain of a corn will fall to the ground and die. It abides alone. Praise the name of the Lord. And you know, honor and bow down and worship. Friends, we haven't known what worship is yet. I believe that we've got to let go of everything. Here's the man who had everything David needed. And he bowed down. He knew that he was a deeply spiritual man, that his time spiritually had come. He bowed down to God. God is looking for men and women who will surrender all, who will bow down and worship God. And that's not all that Onan did. Let's read verse 22. And David said to Onan, David now began to announce his mission. David said to Onan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. And thou shalt grant it to me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. David was ready to pay anything. He announced his mission. I want this threshing floor. And you know, land is a very sensitive thing. You don't come into a man's house and take a man's land. Not even the king can do that. This Onan could fight back. Say, look, this is my grandfather owned this place. Now you want to take this land from me. He could start railing. He could start complaining. David said, I want this land. God says we should build an altar in this. I must buy this land. I'm ready to pay anything for it. Praise the name of the Lord. And do you know what Onan said? Let's read what Onan said. And this just knocked me off completely. What kind of man is this Onan? What did God do in this man to make him such a wonderful man? And verse 23. And Onan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. I give thee the oxen also for burnt offering, and the threshing instrument for wood, and the wheat for meat offering. And he gave the final statement, I give it all. And when I got to this point, I stopped. I just knocked off completely. The Bible says, he said, I gave it all. Not half. Not 90%. 99.9% will not do. I gave it all. What kind of man is this? What was the dealing? What must God have done in his life? God must have separated this man and dealt with him. You know, he told David, he said, look, you can have the threshing floor. He says, you can have the oxen for burnt offering. Not only would you have this land, take the land, the oxen that I'm using to plow, you can also take that. Hallelujah. You can have the instruments that we use. You can take the instrument too. Use it to make fire, to burn the offering. Knock, you know the threshing floor instrument? You have the oxen and then you tie the, in those good old days, they have the wood. It's made of wood. And then the oxen drags it, and then it plows the place, and then it makes the ridges. Instead of you doing it manually, makes it easy. Onan said, look, you take the land, you take the oxen, you kill that animal and use it to make the sacrifice. Now, take the wood, the oxen instrument, take it and make fire with it. And he didn't stop there. Even the wheat that we have already threshed, the finished one, take it too. He gave everything. And I'm like, God, this is deep. This is deep. And nothing short of this will do, friends. God is looking for an altar. He's looking for a platform. There's crisis in the land, friends. And God needs an altar. God is making a people who will be the launch pad for God in this last days. You know what? God told me that his land is his body. Everything he had, he gave it to God. The instrument are his gifts. The wheat is the word he has. He gave everything to God. You know, some of us are we have gifts, we have everything. Even those gifts, God wants you to lay them on the altar. What you think you have, you think you're good in eschatology, you're good in revelation, you're good in the word, isn't it? Even that, you need to put it on the altar. You have the gifts of prophesying. That's the threshing floor. You have abilities God has given you. You need to walk away from your gifts. You need to walk away from the advantages, the blessing. And I'm talking about ministry now. You need to walk away from it. Yes, I can do it. But leave it, throw it out and walk away and see if God will not bless you. Don't major on your gifts. After all, it's a gift. When God asked for the gifts, when God told Abraham, I need your Isaac, he gave it to him. Abraham said it was tough for him, but he gave it back to God. And so God is asking for our Isaac, your gifts, your anointing. You can sing, and you're a good singer. And that's already getting into your head. And God says, I want that good singing. I want it. Give it to me. Are you going to give it to God and walk away and see whether God will not bless you some more? That's what Onan did. He gave it all. That you don't do that kind of thing overnight. He wasn't a quick fish person. He was thoroughly cooked. He knew what he was doing. He said, take everything. Take the wheat as well. Take the word. Take the anointing. Take everything. Praise the name of the Lord. God is looking for men. Do we have men and women who will go that far this morning? Do we have people here today who will say, Lord, it's all about you. Take it all. Take it all. Have your way. Do you know what? Onan became took a permanent place in the history of God in Israel. That threshing floor became where the Solomon's temple was built. David located the temple. The first thing you do before you can build is locate the site. And this was the most important part of that whole thing. And you know how prophetic it is. Solomon's temple is a picture of the third and final temple that God is building. Solomon is a type of peace. It's a type of the third dimension, isn't it? Well, we've got to locate the site. And David located the site in the midst of crisis. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be going through some crisis. You know, sometimes you need to let the tears come down so you can see clearly sometimes. You need some tears. You know, sometimes when the clouds are heavy with water, it's dark. We're getting into the rainy season now. When you see the clouds gather and they are dark, they thick with water. And what happens after the rain? The clouds are bright. The whole place looks beautiful. Just after the rain, it becomes, so it is sometimes. You need some tears, friends, so you can feel better afterwards. Some of us are bottled up and our eyes are heavy. And God boxes us around and we cry. You need to do some of those crying. You are going to feel better afterwards. And that's how it is. Weeping may endure for the night. But for sure, joy will come in the morning. However long a night is, it will come to an end. I haven't seen a night. I mean, I've seen some long nights, friends. I mean, you wake up and it's like, oh, the day will never break. you know, going through some of those tough situations, and I've gone through a few, and you just like, you want to die. It's like you can't continue anymore. I've been in situations in my life that I didn't know I could continue. I didn't have the strength. My whole, everything was just, but God again came around and gave me the strength, because it was so dark and so painful that I didn't have the strength to move an inch anymore. But however long the night is, joy will come in the morning. We may go out sowing with tears, friends, where doubtless we will come back rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that God is speaking to your heart and is encouraging you. You might just be that honor, that platform that God is looking for. And let's close with this. Let's look at David's response. Verse 24. And King David said to Ornan, nay. He said, nay. David re-echoed the same principle. I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offering without cost. And so David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offering, and called upon the name of the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel to put down his sword again into his shield. And at that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering, were at that season in the high place of Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Matter closed. Praise the name of the Lord. This is beautiful. Hallelujah. And David said, I'm going to pay full price. I won't take anything from you. David re-echoed that same principle. I'll pay full price for this thing. Hallelujah. I won't offer anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. I won't take something from you and give it to the Lord. I am going to pay full price for it. But you know, Ornan already passed the test. He already passed the test. He was so good, he passed the test. And David said, he gave him 600. Six is the number of man. We're passing this day, this sixth day. God is delivering us from, we're at midnight of the sixth day, friends. It's time to enter into the seventh day. For 6,000 years, man ruled. It's about man. But God is ending that order. That's what I saw. The six. Why isn't it five? Why isn't it four? Why isn't it ten? It was six. Meaning that a new day is about to begin. 6,000 years, 6 days, the number of man, the era of man, the day of man is over. It's not about man anymore. That's what the 6,000 shekels means. Gold means the nature of God. The number of man, God has taken man from the sin, and he's taking us into the seventh day, which is the day. There remained therefore a rest for the people of God. He said we should labor so that we can enter into that rest. God is saying to us, we're standing at a critical point. Are you going to pass this test or fail this test? Are you willing to pay the full price? And it could be tough paying the full price, but it has to be full price. Ornan paid the full price. It's not about 80% or 99%. It's about the full price. And that's the message that God has laid in my heart for us. Can we bow our heads to pray? Brother Kola, you have to come and help me now.
As we bow our heads, I want us to take this song. God is building a people of power. He is making a people of praise who will move through the land by His Spirit. and will glorify his name. To begin to talk to the Lord this morning. The Spirit of the Lord has been very mightily present in our midst. The word of the Lord has been clear, it has been sharp. God is making us unto our God kings and priests. God is the one who is doing the work. It is a work in process. A definite work, a thorough work. A work in which total yieldedness is demanded. I want us to go before the Lord at this time. Lord, I yield myself. Lord, I yield myself. I yield myself. I make myself available unto you for this work that you are doing at this time. I no longer wrestle with you. I no longer resist you. I make myself available. The Lord desires to make you an epistle to be read of men. Over the years, over the centuries, men have looked at the church and they have not seen what they expected. At the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit, it was evident that the disciples, the believers, had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Without their broadcasting it, they said, "These ones have been with Jesus." But we live at a time when there's so much professing. Oh, I am a child of God. I am this, I am that. But the life is not seen. The beauty of the Lord is not seen. The glory of the Lord is not seen. We need to offer ourselves. Lord, I lay my life down. I do not contend with you. I do not wrestle with you. I have no arguments to offer. I lay my all on the altar. It must be all about Jesus. It must be all about Jesus. You cannot afford to have your own agenda. I cannot afford to have my own agenda. It must be all about Jesus. The best I can make of myself, the best you can make of yourself, is a big mess. A very big mess. But when we lay it all on the altar, then the Lord can pick us up and make us what He wants us to be. Word of God says David in self-will went ahead and numbered the people of the Lord against the counsel of God, and God was very angry and He broke forth upon Israel, and there was the need for a remedy. Hallelujah. If there is an example that is so striking in the words that came this morning, it is the life of Onan, a man accustomed to pain, a man accustomed to waiting on the Lord, looking unto God for the time that the Lord will show him for. He was not self-opinionated. He did not push himself. He allowed the Lord to work out His time, His purpose for his life. Are you ready for the Lord to work out His purpose in your life? We live in a world of quick fixes. A world of quick fixes. Let there be a cry unto the Lord this morning. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Break me and mold me. And then fill me anew. Break me, O God. Let me be broken. Let me be broken, Lord. Let me know your hand rested upon my life. The word of God says it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, I'll be.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Onan offered all. He offered all. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all, Lord. Take it all. Are we ready to offer all on the altar of God? Or do we have that which we are keeping back? Lord, this is how far you can go. You can't go farther than this.
Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar for you. Yes, I'll be broken. My bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be sold out to you, but I made to just what you.
Onan was a very humble man. Onan was a very humble man. A broken man. Lord, keep me humble. Keep me broken.
For you, yes, I'll be broken. Like bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be sold out to you. As you may do just what you will.
Hallelujah. Brethren, we need to pray for the wisdom of God at this time. God does not see as man sees. God does not see as man sees. Like our brother said, God looked all through the land of Israel and he picked a man that was not recognized. Nobody knew him, nobody recognized him, but God said, that is my man. We need to pray that the Lord will touch our eyes, that the Lord will touch our ears, that we will see. The word of God says the Spirit of the Lord was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not see as men saw. He did not hear as men hear. And we live at a time when many are seeing as men see, and many are hearing as men hear. But there must be a cry of the heart, Lord, touch my eyes, touch my ears, that I might see as God sees. And it's critical at this time, because like has been ministered in the course of the past few days, there is a spirit of deception upon the earth. But Lord, touch my eyes, touch my ears, let me see, let me hear. As you walk at this time in the name of Jesus, let me not be swept off. Let me not be deceived at a time like this in the name of Jesus.
Yes, all people found blood wine upon the altar. For you, yes, I'll be broken. My prayer to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be sold out to you. But you may do just what you will.
Hallelujah. Finally, praying this morning, even when Onan offered all that he had, David did not accept that which he offered, because David was also a man operating on principles that God administered to him. David said, let it be far from me. I will not offer unto the Lord an offering that will not cost me anything. Brethren, the kind of offering that the Lord is demanding at this time is an offering that will cost you something. There is a price to pay. There is a price to pay for everything you will offer unto the Lord that will be acceptable. And I want us to pray this morning, Lord, grant me the grace to be able to make that offering of sacrifice, that life of sacrifice. Help me, Lord, to live such a life. Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and of mercy this morning. We thank you for your counsel that has come unto us. We appreciate your love, because it is your love that compels you to reveal your mind unto us. We appreciate the fact that in your love for us, you have chosen us. You have called us, you have chosen us to be altars unto you, to offer our lives as sacrifices acceptable before you at this time. Lord, we voluntarily yield ourselves. We offer ourselves without constraints. We offer ourselves without conditions. We offer ourselves, we offer all, oh God, at this time. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will make an imprint upon our hearts, upon our minds, in the name of Jesus. The ability to lay all on the altar, we receive at this time in the name of Jesus. We purge ourselves of self-will. We purge ourselves of pride. We purge ourselves of arrogance. We purge ourselves of the approval of men. Because Lord, what is important is the approval of God. If a million people approve us and you do not approve us, then it is failure, absolute failure. Father, we pray, Lord, that you might approve us at this time in the name of Jesus. We come before you. Grant the grace to make this sacrifice, this life of sacrifice, irrespective of the pain that we might have found ourselves undergoing. Your word says all things work together for our good because we love you. So we know all our experiences, all the challenges that we have had to go through are all working together for our good, that your name may be glorified in our lives. And Lord, we recognize that every person that has offered himself, that has laid it all, that has, like Esther say, I perish, if I perish, I perish, you have always intervened. Therefore, Lord, we offer all, even if you will not, like the children of Israel said in Babylon, we lay down our lives, we know our God is able to save us, but even if he chooses not to, Lord, bring us to that place in our experience with you, in our walk with you, where we are able to fall upon you and just say, Lord, have your way, whichever way, have your way. In your word, you have always intervened. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. We hallow you. We exalt you in the name of Jesus. Father, this work will be finished in us. It will be a perfect work. Christ will be written upon us. Christ will be revealed in us. The power of God, the glory of God, will be made manifest in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we say any resistance in us, let them be crushed. Let them be crushed. Let them be crushed in the name of Jesus. Let there be a willingness. Let there be a joy in offering ourselves unto you at this time in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. Lord, we worship you. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord.